Thank you for listening in. It's time for Hijinks to ensue again. You're all such fools, but you are fools until the end. And if you knew Bobby and decided to do a podcast, well then you would see my life is so damn frustrating. And the blue coyote says white claw giggles and tears.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Hijinks and Zoos Wrestling Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Blue Coyote, and I'm joined with my tag team partner for life, one Mr. Bobby E. Bobby, how's it going, man? Nice.
That's the kind of show we're going to provide today.
Well, we actually have a really good show planned for today. Because it's been so long since we were able to give a show.
Yeah. It's been like 8 years.
8 whole years. So I am looking forward to the show. I've been looking forward to it all week. 2 weeks, really, whenever we were able to kind of talk and get some things in order when we were going to do this. And then I just kind of forgot about it for a week. And then the beginning of this week, it was a big countdown week for me, and we will talk about that shortly. But I was just kind of thinking of 9-1. I mean, I was like Ace Ventura bouncing back and forth, ready to go.
All right,
for the show. I sent out several messages and posted it on our Facebook and our
Discord,
yeah, for our listeners to ask questions. So we got a lot of really good questions in. I thought it was really funny. You can tell who's really listening to the show, because a lot of the questions initially had to do with what were our opinions on certain things that were going on currently in wrestling, some things that have just happened over the last couple weeks, or rumors of stuff that is coming up. And it was like, we're going to talk about that. Okay. I'm asking you to like ask questions, stuff that we might not regularly talk about. But they couldn't comprehend that because they still continued to ask questions about
wrestling
news. And then this morning I saw that your star pupil extraordinaire, Aaron the Red, was up and awake. So I sent him a message saying, hey, we're recording here in about an hour. Do you have anything left? Any new questions other than the topics I already had? I was like, yes, I've got those. I'm not not discounting you.
I sent in a recipe.
I saw that.
Hope everybody found that helpful.
I did. So we are going to get to those questions, which is our topic for the day. Oh, topic of the day. Oh, that's a callback. So ask us anything was the topic. A lot of great questions. A lot of questions that got brought up were about stuff I wanted to talk about anyways. Some new movies that have come out. We have so much to catch up on. There's so much that has happened since we last recorded. For those of you who are on our Patreon, I did send you a message. I suspended last month's Patreon because we had not put any content out, so I did not want you to get your auto draft bill for that. But as today is May 1st, that will not be the case this month, because we are giving you a super show today. Oh, wait, it's Saturday.
It's May 1st?
Yep.
Huh.
Tuesday will be May 4th.
Yeah, the peanut bought her dogs.
May the 4th be with you.
Star Wars bandanas to wear.
That's awesome.
For May the 4th.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to get queued up here and ready to go. Pew, 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 pew. And I had posted that there was some big news, so I wanted to take a moment and discuss that.
Okay.
So, let me get ready first.
Oh, okay. Probably should have done that before we started recording.
Well, you know.
Building the suspense.
Wanted to be all natural.
Ooh, all natural. Uh-huh. Look at him. Hey, careful.
It's in a sleeve. It'll be fun. All right. What?
I don't know.
Cock
sleeve.
Let's see. So, about 20 years ago, I went to a comic book store in San Marcos, Texas, called Comic Relief, owned by Brian and his wife, Diana. Awesome people. I wanted to get in the comic book business. I asked him, you know, hey, what does it take to do this? And he kind of threw out a dollar amount and offered some advice as far as like certain comics to have whenever you open. But the funny thing was, is he, whenever I asked him about like, hey, how'd this shop all come about? What'd you do? And he prefaced his story with, I quit working for the man back in 19, blah, 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 whatever it was. So fast forward 20 years, as of yesterday, I quit working for the man.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Those of you who don't know, last 2 years, I've been working for Walmart. We've kind of tongue-in-cheeked Walmart over the course of the podcast.
All right.
On certain things. I started out in safety, like protection, asset protection, facility safety. And then I transitioned over to their academy, and I helped to train people. And with the pandemic, that was kind of difficult. We did a lot of stuff over Zoom. And it was great. It was fun. It was hard to leave because it wasn't like I didn't like my job. Loved my job. Loved the people I worked with. I wasn't mad or upset, but I took the opportunity a few months ago to invest in the greatest sponsor this show has ever had, Titan Moon Comics.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Good people. Good people. So I am now full-time working at Titan Moon Comics. So I'm super excited about that. The last few months, I have been working 75 to 80 hours a week. It's one of the reasons we have not had time to record. So that is changing. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to being my own boss.
I am so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you eat a piece of cake earlier?
I did. It had my face on it.
Yes, it did.
I had an alter ego when I was with the Walmart Academy as Captain Spark. And so they gave me a cake yesterday that had my picture on it. And I... It was me standing with my hands on my hips and my full uniform and everything, my little costume.
Superman pose.
Yeah, and I cut out a piece of the picture, the crotchal region, if you will, and gave it to my friend Philip, made him eat it. When I handed it to him, I said, eat my dick. I love that.
That's a good story.
And then another one of my friends, Teresa, great, great lady Teresa, love her to pieces. She tracked down some plans on the interwebs and made me that.
All right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it.
Yeah. So I already got it hung up here in the Library of Awesomeness. I have taken what time I did have, you know, an hour or two here or there at night throughout the week to do some rearranging. You know, I'm always changing things in the Library of Awesomeness, but I'm getting close to, like, the be-all, end-all. Got my display cases up, got some figures hung.
I don't think you're ever going to be done.
You don't think?
No.
I don't know.
I know.
I'm getting tired of moving stuff around.
I don't think you are.
You're not here. Those display cases were a pain in the ass to put together.
Were they from IKEA?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that then.
No, the instructions were easy enough, but everything I get from IKEA, I have no problem with the instructions, but almost everything I can do by myself. These display cases were like a two-person job.
Well, I don't live that far away. You could have called.
The time of day I would have called, I'm pretty sure you were not in driving condition.
Ah.
And I didn't want to drive to go pick you up. I was in my underoos, so.
Yeah.
One more time for those in the back that didn't hear.
What?
Sniffy McGee over there. You just got louder and louder with your sniffies. So. Anyways. Yeah, Titan Moon Comics. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of great stuff that we've got coming up there if you're in the Cedar Park area.
Just give an address.
1540 Cypress Creek Road, Cedar Park, Texas. Don't know the zip code because I don't mail myself shit. Gaggle it. But we do have a website. You can go to Google and just type in Titan Moon Comics. We'll come right up. Easy shipping. We've got a flat rate shipping on our website. Don't order the statues. They're heavy, like the weight distribution to mail those out.
Is there a Berserker statue?
Not as of yet, but we will talk about Berserker in a wee moment.
Okay.
So I guess we're gonna kind of have to do a hybrid of wrestling news and questions because we did get a lot of questions about some current stuff that will lead to some other stuff. So let me go to the screen grabs section of my phone. Oh, look, I don't know, you can't really see it, but, well, maybe. There's shrooms growing in the cow shit back there.
Gross.
I know.
Why do you got the sniffles?
Just cause.
Copycat.
So there's the full picture.
Yeah.
Me and all my fat glory.
Eat my dick. I love that. I wish I'd have been there for that one.
I sent that picture to my business partner, but the bottom half had already been cut off. I was like, hey, I saved you a piece. He's like, I can't eat that. I got diabetes. I was like, yeah, eat my dick. It was pretty fun. Where are you going? What you doing? Where are you going?
I almost stepped on Tessa's head.
Uh-oh. Tessa, the official dog of the Hijinks Ensues Wrestling Podcast, is hanging out in studio with us today.
In all her glory.
In all her glory. Let us see. Take a look. It's in a book.
He's going to be on Jeopardy.
Is he? Oh, no, he's going to guest host. Yeah. But is LeVar Burton, like, everyone wants him to take over as the official host.
I'd be okay with that.
I would, too.
I watched the ones with Aaron Rodgers. He did great. I watched the ones.
Who's that?
You would know him as the greatest quarterback of all time for the
Patrick
Green Bay
Mahomes?
Packers.
Oh, for the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, specifically just Green Bay. I will. I will agree to that wholeheartedly. Greatest ever? No. Greatest for Green Bay? Yeah. Right behind one Mr. Brett Favre.
Favre.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is leaving.
It's not confirmed.
He's going.
He's either going to retire or he's going to the 49ers.
He had a tantrum.
He needs...
Could you imagine if he goes to the 49ers and does for them
pissed.
And does for them what Brady did for the Bucks? Could you just imagine?
No. It's like everything nightmares are made of.
Aaron Rodgers is going to the 49ers and he's going to be riding on the back of a pig to get there. Eating a bowl of eggs.
This is nightmare material.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Nobody's going to get that.
Take a look. It's in a book. So, one Mr. Eric Bischoff tweeted out some news. He was sorry to hear, but old WCW wrestler Steve Mongo McMichael, he originally played for the Chicago Bears, kind of dropped off the map. Everyone wondered what happened to him. They just kind of thought, well, he's kind of always been the way he's going to be. He's off living his best life. Apparently, it has now come out. He has ALS, and he's struggling with ALS. He's not in the best of health. They have described his fight with ALS as vicious. So, the Hoop would like to send our best wishes to Mongo and his family. Hope you can get some peace, live pain-free. Moving on to some questions. What are y'all's thoughts on the latest string of releases from WWE? We actually got a lot of questions about this.
So, I have no answers.
Really? None?
I'm not going to lie. I haven't been keeping up with any of the shits.
So you don't know. Okay.
I know nothing.
A lot of people were shocked. I was not shocked by the news. Maybe shocked with some of the selections. But after WrestleMania, which we did not even talk about. We did not even have a show during Mania. I didn't watch it. I heard it was horrible.
I heard one match was really good. Sasha Banks.
I did hear that match was good. Bianca Belair?
Yes. I heard that was really good.
I heard that match stole the show.
Yes.
So, after WrestleMania, WWE comes to the end of their fiscal year. So, it's time to start over. That's whenever they do a lot of their cutting. They cut people from the office. They cut talent. It's a cost-saving measure before the very, very end of their fiscal year. It's done to save money. They do it every year. Now, last year, whenever they made these cuts, it was around COVID. And they were kind of, and they actually cut a huge chunk of people under this umbrella of, you know, we're going to furlough some, we're going to let others go because of COVID and loss of revenue, which realistically they did not lose revenue. It has come out that WWE actually had probably one of their best years financially in a long time because they were not traveling. They did not incur the traveling cost. Yeah. So all of their talent was in one location. They didn't have hotels, planes, all that jazz. But after WrestleMania, whenever they made their cuts, they cut Samoa Joe, Mickey James, Kalisto, the Iconics, Tucker, Bo Dallas.
Okay.
So, some of the names were a little confusing to me as to a why. So, the Iconics just came back a few months ago. A female tag team were very popular.
Mm-hmm.
They just brought them back. So, I don't know if it's like last in, first out kind of situation. I know that, and I have some theories here, but one of the wrestlers in that team is married to a wrestler who was cut by WWE last year, who has shown up on AEW and Impact and some other indie shows, and he's doing really well with his podcast and everything. So maybe that was part of it. Like, hey, you're too like a huge chunk of your life is just too invested in someone who's not with this company, which is kind of a shitty reason to let someone go.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Mickey James,
that one surprised me,
is kind of in the same boat. You know, we talked about this on past episodes. Check out the Library of Awesomeness online. But Mickey's husband, Nick Aldis, is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And they're like all over social media together. So it's really hard not to talk about Mickey James and not find yourself talking about the NWA. So we had talked in the past that whenever she came back, that they kind of floundered her return. It wasn't like this great thing. And then she had a match for the title, and they kind of talked about other news during that match. And so instead of focusing on this world heavyweight title or world women's title. So I don't know if they were just kind of like, if we got to get rid of somebody, let's get rid of this person who, you know, whenever we think of them, we just think about all these other organizations. So I don't know, but she's a great talent. Anyone will be lucky to pick her up. She also has a podcast, as everyone does these days, I guess. Samoa Joe actually surprised me more than anything. Now, Joe has been injured, but he's been doing pretty good on some commentary and some other WWE-related stuff. I mean, he's got a mind for the business. He was in the indies for a very long time. He made a huge name for himself. Probably, I would put him up there with Sting in the fact that by the time he made it to WWE, he was so over. Like, he was one of the most over, well-known worldwide wrestlers without ever having been in the WWE. So whether it was Ring of Honor or TNA Impact, he was a big name. He was a good grab. That was the name whenever the news dropped that Twitter just exploded. I mean, wrestlers from all over. Like, are you crazy? I can't believe you just cut Joe. So there is a lot of speculation. Of course, anytime a wrestler's cut by WWE nowadays, everyone goes, well, where are they going next? Are they going to AEW? Are they going to Impact? Are they going to Ring of Honor? Are they going to Japan? What are we doing? I kind of am at this point now just not even speculating. Like, wherever they turn up, I'll be happy. I would say that Mickey will probably turn up in the NWA. I think that'd be a good shot. Have her come in and be a heel and work with her husband. That'd be pretty cool. But, again, a lot of people who were surprised, this happened right after Mania. I think everyone had gotten so wrapped up in pandemic and last year when the releases happened, they were pandemic-related, and no one thought, well, hey, they're actually being released because of budget cuts for the fiscal year. So that might be the reason behind why people are shocked. But that is my thought on that. Bo Dallas and Tucker. Tucker's been injured. And really, Tucker, his big fame was with Otis. Is Heavy Machinery. And Otis just kind of, whenever Tucker got injured, Otis went a different way and kind of became a singles superstar. His popularity rose. So I could see Tucker, even if he wasn't injured and came back, not really having a lot creatively. Bo Dallas kind of surprises me, but at the same time, it's one of those nepotism deals. He's a great talent. He doesn't have a lot of charisma. But he, in real life, is the younger brother of Bray Wyatt. So I could see them keep... I think the only reason he stayed around as long as he did was because he was Bray's younger brother. He's the son of Mike Rotunda, also known as the IRS, Erwin R. Scheister. So, who was a road agent. So it might have been a favor to the family. I don't know. He is a good talent, but again, there's so many people in WWE creatively, you can't do something for all of them.
Right.
And there was a huge shift that we did not discuss since we were off the air, that the WWE Network is no more. They moved to Peacock. So now it's the WWE Cock. And
6 inches.
6 inches. Wow, that's a record. So I can see why cutting some talent, because you're not going to have the shows that you had on the network. You know, they had some wrestling programs they were releasing weekly that a lot of people weren't watching, but the talent was still able to get some exposure and get a payday. But now on Peacock, they're even more limited now with what they can do, because Peacock has so much non-wrestling programming that they offer. So
well, yeah.
But WWE and NBC have always had a pretty good working relationship, going all the way back to Saturday Night's Main Event. It's a good move. I'm looking into it. I do know that several of our listeners did buy the premium package for Peacock. I already had Peacock because there was a lot of really good shows that I couldn't find on other streaming services. Mm-hmm. So I already had the app. I've already got it on the Roku TV, but I might have to get, you know, network. It's a cheaper price point. You know, the network was $9.99. This is like $5.99 a month. Nice. But I think right now, or at least I've got to look into it, because I had heard an ad the other day that for net right now, you can sign up for at least a 6 month trial at like $2.50 a month. So,
hell yeah.
So I'm definitely going to check that out. Breaking news. Former Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey has announced that she is preggers. So I guess that'll squash any and all rumors of when she's coming back.
I think she's fine where she's at.
You don't want her back in WWE programming?
Not yet.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Here's others we can focus on. Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss is having an amazing year.
I saw pictures of her, like, in her Fiend getup.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, she's having a great year. In fact, every morning after she was on WWE programming as this new incarnation, I mean, all the sites were abuzz with, you know, look at what she's doing, look at what she's saying, what is going on moving forward. She was actually, like, a lot of headlines were focused on Alexa Bliss. So I thought that was really great.
Like it.
One of our next questions had to do with one of the cut superstars we talked about, Mickie James. And my thoughts, or rather our thoughts, because I'll fill you in and we can discuss it. So superstars are let go. They go home. They're like, fuck it, I'm going home. They still have property, like at the performance center or wherever. They got a locker. Their stuff gets sent home to them. So Mickie James gets her stuff from WWE. She opens the box and there's a trash bag in there with just all of her shit thrown in it.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And so she posted it on Twitter, like, gee, thanks a lot, guys. So that spawned like a whole huge event that week. Triple H took to Twitter and said, upon learning of the disrespectful treatment some of our recently released talent received on behalf of the company, we took immediate action. The person responsible for this inconsiderate action has been fired and is no longer with WWE. And Stephanie McMahon also took to Twitter and publicly apologized to Mickie James and reiterated the same, that once they found out this had happened, they were unaware, but they took care of the situation. Apparently, it has come out that Mark Carano is out of WWE. And so they're thinking that he was possibly behind this. Whenever that news came out, Gail Kim, from WWE fame and Impact, she was, I believe she's in the Hall of Fame, the Impact Hall of Fame, as former Knockouts champion, she took to Twitter and said that this Mark Carano is not even a good human being. Karma's biting him in the ass.
Huh.
So, good on you. Yeah, the exact tweet from Stephanie said, at Mickie James, I'm embarrassed. You or anyone else would be treated this way. I apologize personally and on behalf of WWE. Person responsible is no longer with our company.
Damage control.
Mickie responded, thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that, as I am equally embarrassed. I know this wasn't a malicious act. However, it did feel very symbolic to how I was presented in the last 3 years. Zing!
Yeah. Let it go. Let it go.
Another former talent to Twitter, speaking on Mark Carano, and said, I was constantly harassed by him about losing my job, and I just stayed quiet about it. So.
Who the fuck is Mark Carano?
He's the guy that they're saying is responsible for treating the talent this way and sending their shit to him in a garbage bag.
Is he a ref?
No, he's a behind-the-scenes guy.
Oh, well, fuck him in the neck.
Yeah.
He was probably born balls first.
Okay. Moving on to some more questions. Who's the bigger star? Hogan or Austin?
I'm gonna fly.
Don't change the subject.
Hogan probably has one movie that's more popular than any of Austin's. But I would have to say Austin. In this generation.
Yeah, it's really hard. If you've seen the movie, you'll know, brother. You know, it's difficult, and it's not difficult for me. It's a difficult question in the sense that, yeah, they're both wrestlers, and they both have done things outside the industry with regard to movies, TV, whatever. But it is like apples and oranges. You know, the kids that grew up on Hogan mm-hmm. and were a huge part of Hulkamania and driving that train became the young adults that latched on to Steve Austin.
I've never liked Hogan.
I know you haven't. I'm going to say Hogan.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of those cause and effect things. If Hogan hadn't been the star he was, I don't think Stone Cold would have hit the level he did. I don't think the business would be as big to put anyone in a position to be that type of superstar. Popularity-wise, I mean, what do we talk about? If we talk about merchandise sales, Austin wins hands down. Austin sold or made more money. Now, I mean, do we look at inflation? All that bullshit. But nowadays, if you put an Austin 316 shirt out there, it'll sell all right. If you put a red and yellow Hulkamania shirt out there, it'll sell every time. So, I'm going to go with Hogan on this one. Yeah. Not just because I was a little Hulkamaniac. I liked Stone Cold too. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Hogan.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Has Blue Coyote or Bobby E ever heard of the baby's arm? Yes, of course I've heard of the baby's arm.
I haven't.
Ric Flair is said to have a baby's arm.
Bullshit.
Between his legs.
Bullshit.
That is the rumor and innuendo from a lot of guys who have seen him naked backstage.
He always wears the bikini trunks. There's no... Would he tuck it in his ass cheeks? Stick it up his own ass?
Maybe that's why he's wooing all the time.
It would hurt.
Woo! I just moved. Took a baby arm to the butt. I don't know.
All right. I don't know.
I don't know. But yes, I do know about the baby's arm. At least that's what it references. I have not seen it.
I will look into this.
But the rumor and innuendo is that Flair has a baby arm.
This is right up my alley. I will look into this.
Okay. Why does Taz think he's some big shot when he never drew a dime and isn't as good as he thinks he is?
Was good back in the day.
That's a fair one-sided question. Taz drew lots of dimes, okay?
He's a very good artist.
Yeah, you should see the dimes with which he has drawn. We're gonna go drawn. First off, he's one of the few talents that actually made money in ECW, number one. Two, he drew big gates in WWE. Whenever he came in, was he as big as he could have been? Well, no. He's a little guy. He's like 2 inches away from midget wrestling. But creatively, they didn't push him. They didn't give him his almighty push. As good old JR likes to say, his push. Now, WWE is only going to ever give you an opportunity. Hey, here's what we got for you. Do what you will. That's how you go from being the ring master into being Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. So did he make do with what he had? Probably not. He could have done more, but he was a great commentator. A lot of people tuned in to hear his commentation. Whenever he was on TNA as a commentator there, Hall of Fame, hands down, better than anyone they've had in recent time. So much so that he was the first wrestler, so to speak, to get their own radio talk show. Not a podcast, which he did have one, but an actual radio talk show for MSNBC. Or ABC or CBS. One of the big networks, he had his own news show, like a weekly news show. Nice. So the man's definitely got away with words. And now coming in and being a manager on AEW, a heel manager, great. He's got a great mind for the business. So did he draw a dime, so to speak, as far as the gate? No, he's not headlining any WrestleManias. But has the man made a lucrative career out of what spawned as this violent ECW-style wrestling? Yes. Millions of dollars. So, to the individual that submitted that question, you can suck it.
He was big when they first introduced him. He was scary.
He was popular, but he wasn't big. He's a tiny little man.
Yeah. Okay.
You need to YouTube the match he had with Bam Bam Bigelow in ECW.
Okay.
They go like through the ring.
Nice.
Like he's on Bam Bam's back and Bam Bam just drops and through the floor. What actually killed WCW? Any guesses? Mm-mm. Guaranteed contracts?
Money?
Yeah. All the promised money they promised those guys. They were losing money left and right. Poor booking. You know, they should have invested more money in a better writing staff. Always changing who is in charge doesn't help. Whenever you have someone who's long-term, this is who's in charge. I would also say that giving the talent creative control in their own matches, it's fine if it's like one guy here or there, but whenever you've got more than 10 guys and you go to them like, hey, here's what we've got going on for the show, and it could be the best written show ever and you're going to make money, and that guy goes, I'm not doing that. That's going to make me look stupid. I'm not doing that. Okay, well, there went a huge element of that show, so now you're going to lose money on that. So a lot of issues there. That is what I would say killed WCW.
I enjoyed WCW for many years.
When will HEWP Creative book the next title defense for HEWP champion Aaron the Red? As I recall, Aaron the Red was stripped of his title. Plus, they don't have to book anything. Whenever we gave that piece of the story and he won the title, that was not real time. That was a historic event in the career of one Mr. Greatest Champion of All Time, HEWP Hall of Famer, Blue Coyote. So, I don't know when we're going to book that next chapter. I thought about doing some writing this week, but I did not, because we actually got way more questions than I thought we would. So.
And they don't know about tomorrow.
They don't know about tomorrow. Ain't no one knowing about tomorrow. BC Stalker wants to know, Daniel Bryan being thrown into the main event at WrestleMania. They got to use him where they can. Surprised they hadn't cut him yet. He's wanting to be part-timer. I mean, kudos on him. He is one of the best wrestlers in the world. But WWE, while they pushed him, he was underutilized. And, I mean, I'd put him up there with Omega. He's a great, great talent. But you're just kind of... He's not... Look, I love the guy. He's good. But he's not Goldberg. He's not Brock Lesnar. He's not of the caliber to demand a part-time schedule. So he's been with WWE for a while. Had a great career in the indies before that. So I can understand them giving him the respect of, hey, we're going to give you a part-time slot. But, yeah. WWE's creative is kind of bordering on WCW at this point. They're starting to focus on what everyone else is doing and not focusing on their own product. And they're trying to go head-to-head and have all these little battles, and it's just not going to work out. Thoughts on Impact and AEW working together and having a champ versus champ match?
I'm fine with it.
It's already taken place. Stretch. So, AEW World Champ, Kenny Omega. He was also a champion in AAA in Mexico. We talked about that on the show before. He still holds that belt. So he showed up on Impact and won the old TNA title. They dubbed him the Belt Collector, which is like a fucking awesome gimmick.
That is a good
one. I like the nickname. I love the gimmick. So they put him in a match with Rich Swann. Champion versus champion at the Impact pay-per-view. Numbers on this were actually really, really good. He's drawing attention to a company that was fledgling, that a lot of people had pretty much given up on. And we've discussed in the past how different the styles are. You know, you can't tune in to Impact and expect to see what you see on AEW, vice versa. If you're a huge Impact fan, you're not going to get the same thing on AEW or WWE. So they book this match, and Omega wins it. So he is now the world champ in several organizations. I think it's great. We did have another question about this from Keith Lee's older brother, James. I like the gimmick. I would like to see him win all of these titles. I want him to get the New Japan title. I want him to go on to face Nick Aldis for the NWA championship belt. And either man wins, I think it'll be good for the business. But whoever wins, I want it to unify into one title and all of these companies to become one big group like the NWA.
That'd be cool.
I think that would be awesome. I think the time is right. We've talked about in the past that we don't have territorial wrestling any longer because of the internet and TV, and so that's fine, but I think it would be great if we had one unified champion, and then each of these shows have their own champion, but the one champion makes the rounds and hits all of those TVs. I think it would be great for the business.
One to rule them all.
One to rule them all, and in the darkness, bind them.
Man, he's like Marvel's the Collector.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So then the question comes up, will WWE play ball? I hope not. But a lot of people have asked, you know, is WWE closed off to the idea? And everyone always goes back to ECW. Well, we worked with ECW, and we brought those guys in, and blah, 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 whatever the case may be. I think that's kind of poor to go back and base it on that. But then I get up this morning and I see a tweet seemingly from Triple H until I realize it's the Twitter account is Triple H's burner. And they tweeted, "We are beyond proud to announce the Forbidden Door has opened as WWE NXT is officially partnered with MLW. The future looks bright for this partnership. Reminds me of ECW in the 90s. And everybody lost their fucking minds before they realized that it was not actually Triple H. But I clicked on the Twitter account for this handle, and the tweets are hilarious. So go check that out. You can find it at HHHWWENXT. Lots of funny stuff there if you're on Twitter. I almost thought of just like showing it to you, being like, look what Triple H said. But,
you know, I wouldn't fall for it.
Yeah, you would have. You would have. I know you would have. Let's see. Got it. Did it. Answered it. Got it. Jericho, what are our thoughts on Chris Jericho being on Stone Cold's Broken Skull Sessions?
I didn't listen to it.
I haven't seen it either. It was a premium. So for me to watch it, I'm going to have to pay for the cock.
Oh, it's not a podcast?
No, it's his web show that he's done for WWE. So on the network, the first one he did was him and Undertaker. Basically, he brings in a talent and they discuss their career. He's had Big Show on there. He's had Mark Henry. He's had several people on there. Randy Orton's was really good. But then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, they're bringing in Jericho. Talk about his career. But Jericho is currently signed to AEW. What does this mean? You know, what's going on? Lots of speculation and bullshit. I think Stone Cold, who, while the show is WWE programming, air quotes, that you can't see on the podcast because I'm doing air quotes here.
You got to do.
The reality of it is Stone Cold is not beholden to WWE. He has a Legends contract. He does show up on their programming from time to time. But he's not wrestling. He's not referee. He's not an on-air personality. Stone Cold's going to do what Stone Cold wants to do. So, he recognizes, let's have Jericho on there. You know, he's wrestled Jericho. He respects him. The comment was made that the fact that Jericho was on there shows that Vince is not afraid of AEW. So, take with that whatever you may. But everyone I've talked to who watched it said it was really good. I'm interested to see it. I just have not, up until recently, had the time to really sit down and watch anything. And whenever I have, it has not been wrestling programming, as we were not doing the podcast. But there's a lot of other great things that I have been watching, and I want to discuss those in a moment. Get through some more questions. Aaron the Red sends in, perhaps check out APAC Wrestling and discuss your thoughts. It's a Malaysian wrestling promotion started by Shakat, who's a student of Booker T. Happens to be one of his favorites. They just premiered their second season online. Research and discuss thoughts on West African martial art and sport Dambe. No, not doing that. And quit showing me stuff coming out of China and Malaysia. I've got enough wrestling to watch, Aaron.
Go play D&D.
Damn. Yeah. For reals.
Go play Malaysian D&D.
But after he sent that big, long request of stuff for us to go research and look at, BC Stalker chimed in with, Aaron, you know damn well Bobby E. ain't researching anything but White Claws.
Haha, fuck you, I'm drinking Truly.
Yeah, Truly's. Discuss some of your own experiences in wrestling.
That was on Discord?
Yeah.
How the fuck did I miss that?
I don't know. But Aaron wants me to discuss experience in wrestling. I feel like we've done that. Like, I've told my wrestling story. And I bring stuff up every now and again as it pertains to whatever's going on. The whole show is kind of our wrestling experience. Is Grilling JR a good podcast, or is it just a podium to prove that he's just so bitter towards Vince and WWE? That comes from Original Fan Zach. I don't feel like JR is bitter towards WWE. I think that he feels like he is working with a superior product in AEW. He sees a lot of things in AEW that he wishes would have occurred in WWE. I don't feel like he's bitter at all. In fact, I've heard on several occasions where he has praised Vince McMahon. So I don't think that it's a platform for him to just bitch. He does have a wealth of knowledge and experience. And I actually, whenever, because I recently started listening to the wrestling podcasts again. Mm-hmm. There's a couple that come out. So Conrad, aside from the ones that we have already discussed on the show, he's got two new ones. He started doing one with Kurt Angle, and he's got one coming out in a few days, actually, with him and Jeff Jarrett. But I can tell you that whenever I started listening again, Grill and JR was the one I went to. Now, I love him and Tony Schiavone, but they've just been covering a whole bunch of like 1980s WCW stuff or early 90s. And I was like, I don't want to listen to a whole string of watch-alongs. I'm sure there's a lot of funny moments, but I kind of wanted some takes on some things. And I went directly, the first one I was listening to was Grill and JR. I really love that podcast, and it cracks me up. So,
that's what people say about ours.
Yeah. Greatest wrestling podcast out there. Bigger Yes Man, Daniel Bryan, or Bruce Pritchard. So it's a tongue-in-cheek joke. For those of you who don't know, Daniel Bryan does the where he points the two fingers to the sky. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I hate it.
And then, of course, Bruce Pritchard, who has been a Vince McMahon, described as a Vince McMahon crony all these years and a Yes Man just going along. I don't think that's the case. If you listen to the man, you'll see that there's a lot of things that he has put his foot down on and said, no, this isn't a good idea. And then there's other things where he goes along with it. Bruce has been in the wrestling business since he was 14 years old.
Damn.
As a ring announcer and then later as a referee. He's been a manager, talent relations producer, backstage, handle vignettes, and then the head of creative for Raw. So he's done just about everything you can do. I mean, he's been in the ring with Hogan, for crying out loud. So I don't think he's just a yes man, but out of the two of them, I would say Daniel Bryan, because he said yes, like, a lot. Did QT Marshall make some valid points with his promo towards Cody Rhodes? He alluded to the only reason he made AEW was because he couldn't get over in WWE, so he surrounded himself with indie stars to get himself over. So this is a dig at Cody, saying, hey, you know, you weren't anything in WWE, so now you've got this group of people you surrounded yourself with to make yourself look good. I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think it's a classic heel promo. In real life, QT Marshall and Cody Rhodes are great friends. So don't be a mark. Don't fall into that bullshit. I don't think... he made it in WWE. I mean, he was a champion. He was a world tag champ, for sure. Did he get the big belt? No. But has he had it in AEW? He had the Dynamite title. But he didn't walk in and make himself world champ night one. So a lot of the people that he defeated whenever he had that belt, it was actually giving them more exposure. Did they go over and win the match? No. But he gave him a lot of exposure. And he's brought in a lot of great talent. So, no, I don't think that's a fair assessment. Cody Rhodes. Do-up. Aaron the Red wants us to do a review of Codename Blank Season 2 so far. No. I don't have time for that. Pick five wrestlers you would like to play D&D with. And Bobby, I turn this over to you.
Five characters?
Five wrestlers.
Oh, wrestlers.
That you would want to play WWE. I mean, that you'd want to... From WWE that you'd want to play D&D with.
All right. Bray Wyatt. Definitely. Great imagination. I could definitely see him playing a... probably a warlock. Triple H.
You're going to probably have to help him a lot.
That's fine.
As a DM, you have to help him a lot.
That's fine. That's fine. I just want to hang out with him.
Okay.
Mankind, or...
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, yeah. Not The Undertaker. I'd be too scared. You're poison. No, I'm not. Okay, you're not.
This game's bullshit. He throws his dice.
Who else? Probably Bliss.
Okay.
And to round that out, I would have to go with Asuka.
I think that'd be good. Asuka's a huge gamer. I don't know if she plays any tabletop or card games or anything, but she definitely loves to play games. So
yeah,
that'd be awesome. I would. Let's see who would I want to play D&D with? Like if I was running the campaign, I'm the DM. I would have to say Undertaker, Yokozuna, Godfather, Big Show, and lastly.
Oh.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And realistically, I think it's just me and those five guys sitting around drinking beers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I went with too.
It's me and BSK with Stone Cold and Show.
Now, I think Bray and Asuka, I think they both know how to play. Your pick on Big Show, I'm almost positive he plays.
You think?
I really do. D&D's huge right now.
Oh yeah, it is really big.
I mean,
and if you need D&D supplies, you should check out Titan Moon Comics, where we offer dice and all the manuals and campaigns you would ever need, scenery, miniatures, card sets.
Other geeks.
Speaking of card sets, Magic the Gathering.
Uh-huh.
They have a D&D set coming out soon.
Yes. Don't care.
I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm going to be playing a card game soon.
I will not.
Next question, and we touched on this news a moment ago, with Steve Mongo McMichael's recent ALS diagnosis, who are your top five pro sports athletes turned full-time wrestlers? Quick note while you think about that, Bobby. I will say that a lot of people give Mongo shit because he was not a great talent. But he was green. Like, they just put him in the ring. Like, he didn't go and do any training. They're just like, here you go. Let's do some wrestling. So, top five sports athletes turned full-time wrestlers.
Mike Tyson.
No. He was not a full-time wrestler.
Oh, full-time wrestler. I don't know anybody, though.
Goldberg.
What the... Oh, he was a football player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played for the Falcons.
Yeah. The Rock.
The Rock. He didn't play NFL, but he did play in the Canadian League professionally.
G'day, mates.
G'day, mate! Let's see. Bray Wyatt.
What was he?
Football player. Sure. I know he played college ball. I can't remember if he played professionally. Roman Reigns as well. I don't know if they'd be like my top five because I don't like all of those guys. But, I mean, look at their careers. They've done a lot.
Any hockey players?
No. Not that I recall.
Me neither.
Not that I recall.
Definitely none of the Devils.
No. Are they even hockey players anymore?
I don't think so. They're like 15 and 27. Although Scott Stevens could have been a hell of a fucking tackler person.
Yeah. Big Ben Bishop. I think he
I can see him on the
He could do some things. Well, it just says pro athletes. It doesn't say football per se. So,
yeah.
Well, I wonder what other athletes could have been like.
Andre Agassi.
Yeah. Tiger Woods.
Yes.
He'd have had a great gimmick with Godfather on the Ho train.
Yes, he would have, and then he would crash his car again. That motherfucker can't drive.
I'm pretty sure they're DWI related.
Or the wife trying to beat you to death with a golf club.
Golf club, yeah. I would say number one overall would be The Rock.
Yeah, definitely.
But did he? Well, I mean, I established he played Canadian League, so.
But still, he was really good in Florida.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Him and Goldberg are probably the two bigger names that come to mind. That
I'm always happy to hear you speak of Goldberg in a.
In a positive light.
Yes. I was gonna say shining light.
Now just college. Football, I mean, I know it's not pro, even though, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we know that they get paid. I mean, there's a lot of greats that came out of Texas that played college ball.
Yeah, that's true.
You got the Funks, Tito Santana, Million Dollar Man. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Oh, you know who did play pro ball? Pro baseball that became a huge megastar. And I'm actually going to have to say this is my number one pick now.
Okay.
Macho Man Randy Savage. Uh-huh. Cream always rises to the top. Play a little baseball. Uh-huh.
What about Gronkowski?
No. Okay. Get the fuck out. Absolutely not.
I'm just searching for names now. I don't know.
This is a good question.
That was a weird one.
Thank you, BC Stalker, for that question. Oh, we've got a would you rather. Would you rather get super kicked by Shawn Michaels or spine bustered by Arn Anderson?
Super kick.
Spine buster. Face Chris Jericho or heel Chris Jericho? I think he's better as a heel, but I loved him as a face. Yeah. I was a Jericho-holic. I was behind it 100%.
Yeah. We all know I like Y2J.
We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'll let this be your question.
Okay.
With all these releases in WWE, Impact and AEW working together, NWA making a comeback, what us wrestling fans really want to know, as far as the business is concerned, how big is Batista's dick?
4 inches. We've covered this.
Oh, good. not wrestling related, headline, Kevin Smith's He-Man universe. We've talked about this coming out on Netflix. A lot of great stars providing voices. Mark Hamill as Skeletor.
Yep.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be on there. Lena Headey, who some of you will know from Game of Thrones and Sarah Connor Chronicles. there's actually a prequel comic book coming out by Dark Horse, so I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
If you're interested in that comic book, you can find it at Titan Moon Comics. Gaggle it. And I saved that whole article to read for later. Would you rather drink beer with Steve Austin, drink Moscow Mules with Jim Ross, or drink tequila with The Rock?
I don't drink hard alcohol, so I'd have to go with the beer with Austin.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good night. I would actually like to drink Moscow Mules with Jim Ross.
What is Moscow Mules?
It is a... they put it in those, like, copper, the big copper tumbler thing, okay. Mug, ice and lime, vodka, and ginger ale, or ginger beer, as they call it in some circles.
I'll stick with the Truly's with Steve Austin.
Yeah. You think Steve Austin let you get away with drinking a Truly? You're damn wrong.
Didn't I try one of his beers?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Wasn't good either. Wouldn't no. Non-wrestling question. If you could redo Ghost Rider, who would you pick to play the Ghost Rider? What version of Ghost Rider would you choose? And what villain would you pick? And who would play it?
Keanu Reeves.
Whoa, I've got a flaming skull head.
Early 90s Ghost Rider against Mephisto.
Yeah, I was kind of the same track. I hadn't really thought of the actor. I went to the villain first. We kind of had Mephisto in the first movie.
That was shitty.
It was. I'm not saying it was great. I'm just saying we kind of did. So it'd be like an entire overhaul. I would have 90s Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze. I like your pick. Keanu Reeves, I think, is a good pick.
Or even if he fought Morbius.
Nah.
Because you've got the Jared Leto coming out.
Yeah.
Get on it, Keanu.
Quino. Quiet Queen Quino.
That's my boy.
Supreme Court declines to hear wrestler's brain damage case against WWE.
I think if football players are getting their day in court, I think wrestlers should too.
I think, well, the argument on behalf of the wrestlers is that WWE did not protect them.
It's not like they can wear helmets, though.
They could. They could wear more protective gear.
Yeah, but then they'd look like the dog-faced gremlin. And
I think, though, that it would set a precedent for companies worldwide. They have always come out and said, you know, these guys put their bodies on the line for your entertainment, so on and so forth. Don't try this at home.
Right.
Those guys know how to protect themselves. And, yes, accidents do happen. But a lot of the people that were originally in this lawsuit were seen or viewed by the court, so to speak, as just disgruntled. So I don't know. It goes back and forth. A lot of the people that are in the lawsuit have passed away. It just kind of didn't look good for their case.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to him.
Yeah. Didn't somebody like die in the ring and they kept going?
No, there was someone that got knocked out in AEW and they kept going. But it came out later that was actually part of the script for the match.
I thought somebody broke their neck and they kept like flinging him around for a little bit before they realized he was actually dead.
Don't know.
Maybe it was a wet dream.
Okay. Wet dream. I don't want to talk about your wet dreams. Let's see. More and more questions. With his appearance on Impact Rebellion this past week, should Mauro Ranallo be part of Impact full time? I did not see it, but Mauro's good. He's a good commentator. Well-spoken, knows what he's doing. So, yes, if that's what he wants, I think he would elevate their product. I think it would be great. So, I'll agree. If the American Dream Dusty Rhodes and the Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart wanted the 5s and 10s to check out Titan Moon Comics, what might that sound like? Great question. Yeah, baby. There's the American Dream. Dusty Rhodes coming at you. Oh, son of a plumber, blue collar. And if you like blue collar literature, you want to check out some comic books, baby. Yeah. So you need to go on down to Theater Park, Texas, or get on your Google and look up the Titan Moon Comics, baby. Because there are going to be great things coming from them in the future. Blue Coyote over there full time now. It's going to be great. What do you think about that, Jimmy Hart? Yeah, baby. You want to go check out them comic books, baby? Get on that Google. Look up the Titan Moons. Yeah.
Do you have fun with that?
I did. I saw the question like right when it came in earlier this week. I saw that question. I thought, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this one. Yeah, boy. What's been worse, WCW during the Russo era or WWE currently, or recently?
I don't know what that means.
So, Vince Russo was a writer for WWE.
Oh, okay.
During the Attitude Era. And he took a lot of credit for the angles that they had on WWE TV, so WCW made him a better offer and brought him over to their show so that he would write similar product. Where it fell flat is a lot of ideas that did get pushed through on WWE, he legitimately did have credit for. The problem, and what has been brought up by several people who are not with the company any longer, is that at the end of the day, Vince McMahon makes the decision, yes, this will go forward, no, this won't. And so if you give a guy 10 ideas and one of them sticks and the other nine are shit, and you've got that one person going, no, these ideas are shit, I like this one, let's go with this one, and then it becomes a big idea, great. When you don't have that person, then you're getting those other nine ideas on TV, and it just kills the product. I would say I would go with WCW during the Russo era, simply because it contributed to killing that organization, number one. I'm not saying Vince Russo is responsible. I'm saying their lack of leadership was responsible. And number two, while WWE programming right now is not the best, they do have a lot of really strong elements that are building it. The wrestling business goes up and down in popularity, in story, in revenue. So I think WWE is just having a down period right now. They had a couple misses that could have been hits, but some things happened. You know, the pandemic happened. I think they were kind of on a rise to getting back to that greatness, and then they were kind of constrained by things that are going on. And so they've made some bad decisions recently. It's not great. Almost every fan I talk to does not like the current product, but they're still kind of sticking with it to see where it goes. So I think they can pull the nose up on this plane and get out of the turbulence. But it's just going to take a little bit of time to do that. Don't abandon them. All right. So a big something that we missed that I wanted to discuss. As soon as it happened, I wanted to discuss it, but I knew we weren't recording. Thoughts on the Snyder Cut of Justice League?
Oh, you want me to talk?
Do you have any thoughts?
I fucking loved it.
That's your thought?
Wholeheartedly. Fuck that other version. Fuck Josh Whedon.
What do you think? I loved it. Back to you, Diane.
No, it was so different. I thought it was going to be having to watch the Whedon cut, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be having to watch that again.
But with like bonus stuff?
Yeah.
Extra stuff?
It was a whole different movie. Granted, I've never watched a 4-hour, 2-minute long movie.
Right.
It didn't feel like it.
It didn't. I
wanted more.
Yeah. Well, and I sat down. It was late at night, and I thought, well, I'm just going to watch a quick little snippet of this. Maybe I'll watch it for about an hour and come back. A lot of people I talked to watched it in increments, but
pussies.
I ended up watching the whole thing by the time I was done with it. It was like 2:30, 3 in the morning, and I had to get up early the next morning and get to the comic shop and open up, but it was great. I thought it was great. And it was so popular that even The Rock was like, hey, we need the Snyder Cut to be the official universe movie for Black Adam. I really don't want to make this movie if there's not going to be that level of storytelling.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It's going back and forth. I mean, The Rock's a big name in Hollywood. he's got a lot of clout, so to speak. I don't know what WWE will do. I mean, WWE. I don't know what Warner Brothers will do or their parent company. I know that there is a current gag order. They really don't want to talk about the Snyder Cut It was more fan service. They released it because fans clamored for it. They really wanted it. They were willing to get it out there, but then they wanted to just be done with it. And
make it canon.
I agree. And I think most of the... I mean, there were a lot of people that were not even comic book fans that were on this bandwagon of like, well, let's check it out. There's this 4-hour superhero movie. Let's, you know, let's watch. And they just totally enjoyed it. So... I hope they will move forward with it. It was good. It was really good.
God, it was good.
I mean, Superman in the black suit. That was good. A lot of the extra stuff that they did with the Flash I thought was good. Mm-hmm. I loved that scene where they slowed it down and he saves Iris and made him a little more heroic, not just the comedy relief that he was in the other version.
Yeah, tripping.
Yeah.
A lot of focus on Cyborg.
A lot of focus on Cyborg, which was the original intent, to kind of make him the new, like, which is kind of how Cyborg's story has always been portrayed in comics. Like, you're this new junior member. Let's see where it goes. So.
Could have used a little more Batfleck.
Yeah, but we'll get more of him in the Flash movie. And there's even talk of him maybe doing a like a 6-part miniseries type show for HBO Max now.
I would Batman. Love it.
So.
And we're getting Keaton for sure.
Yep.
There's images on the gaggle of Wayne Manor from the Tim Burton series.
Interesting.
Yep.
Dark Side of the Ring is coming back to Vice TV for a third season. First episode will be airing this week, I believe. 2-hour season premiere talking about the life and career of Flying Brian Pillman. So I'm looking forward to that.
I actually know who that is. I think I picked him for something.
No idea.
We've done so many episodes, I don't know anymore.
Yep. Pretty much. Let's see if we got any more questions. Have you seen the new WWE movie Main Event on Netflix? What are your thoughts? I have not.
I haven't either. I didn't know what it was.
Is that that dog movie where they make the dog a wrestler like Air Bud, but he's wrestling? I have no idea. Honestly, if I see WWE outside of wrestling right now, I just think you're focusing on the wrong thing, so I kind of glaze over and don't pay any attention to it.
IDK.
IDK. Given just how many folks WWE has let go over the past year and a half, how do you honestly feel about the direction they're going? Are they succeeding or failing or remaining somewhat stagnant? What's going on there? We have covered that a few times this episode already. I think they're going somewhere. They just need to find their footing and
I think they're stagnant as fuck right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Also, if you care at all, thoughts on the new Middle Kingdom Wrestling tag team belts.
Don't care at all.
From China. It looks cool. I'd go with a different color scheme. Always like silver or platinum on a belt, but this lavender color is kind of throwing me off. So,
is that like the women's belt?
I don't know. I don't follow Chinese wrestling.
It's like something out of Final Fantasy VII.
I don't know. I don't know, fam. What are your thoughts on Invincible? Have you seen Invincible? You probably haven't. Mm-mm. So there's comic book Invincible. It went 144 issues. The same guy who created it for Image Comics back in the day is also the guy who created Walking Dead. It is super colorful, violent. Love it. I did watch. There was the 8-episode season ended last night on Amazon Prime. But it was a great show. I loved it. It was one of those every Friday night. To the point that it came down one night, it was like, do I watch this? Because I had like an hour before I went to bed. It was, do I watch Invincible new episode or do I watch Falcon Winter Soldier? And I went with Invincible.
I would hope so.
But the same person asked, that's Keith Lee's older brother James, wanted to know thoughts on Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought it was good.
Did you? Well, you liked WandaVision too.
Yeah, I did.
Shit's fucking garbage.
I did like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I liked that it had a lot of action. There was kind of like a spy versus spy, secret agent kind of thing going on. I thought it ended really well. And it opened the doors to do another movie, so that was cool. But I took issue with the villain, because the overall villain is like trying to feed people. Trying to find homes for people. So let's not paint a target on their backs. Did the way they go about doing some of those things, was it good? No. But still. And then lastly, they wanted to know, and I wanted to talk to you about this, Mortal Kombat. Did you see Mortal Kombat?
I did.
I did too.
Two nights ago.
I saw it the night it came out. So, what, a week ago? Just about?
Yeah, last Friday.
Thoughts?
I loved the beginning. Like, uh-huh. The first 20 minutes of the movie. Spectacular.
Backstory of Scorpion.
I was confused because I always thought Scorpion was the bad guy and Sub-Zero was the good guy.
It's gone back and forth over the years. Depends on what medium you're watching, but yeah, I can see that.
Okay. And then it just kind of steadily bottomed out.
I give the movie a solid B-. I thought the special effects were great.
Okay.
I loved the costuming.
Yep.
My issues, acting was a big one. The woman that played Sonya Blade almost killed the entire movie for me. She was just horrible.
I didn't have an issue.
Her acting was horrible. I understood why they introduced this new character.
Who?
Cole. He's not from the games.
Who?
Cole.
I don't know.
The main guy who had like the armor skin with his family.
Scorpion's
relative. So my issue there was, cool, if that's what you want to do, I understand you've got this new character. We're going to tell this story through his eyes so that you can introduce things to him, and that's going to help any viewer who has not played the games. So I was like, well, okay, I get it. That's cool, but you give him this family. He's got a wife and a kid, and there were moments where I was like, am I watching a family movie, or am I watching this ultra-violent badass movie, martial arts movie? So
That
kind of took away from it for me. The guy who played Liu Kang played the Black Power Ranger in the movie, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. And he's actually a pretty good actor, but the forced Asian dialect or accent that he used in this movie kind of was distracting to me. His hair looked really weird. You could tell it was like a wig. I will tell you that one of my least favorite characters from the game, Kung Lao, stole that fucking movie.
He was one of my favorite characters from the game.
He was one of my favorite characters in this movie.
When he died, I was pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers. when he cut that bitch in half with his hat.
Yeah.
And then, like, wiped the blood from his brim. And he... flawless victory.
Yeah, that was great.
That was badass.
Madison was sitting there like, oh, damn.
Blake was sitting there like, oh, my God, yes!
But there was no tournament.
No. And, well, it's planned for a trilogy. So, but, the base storyline of let's kill all these people before they can get to the tournament, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I get it.
And,
all right, but if you say it's
super,
gonna be...
super, super spoiler alert, there was no Johnny Cage. And so
that's going to tie into wrestling.
They make it a point to go, okay, we're going to go find more people to be in our team, and they're going to go out to LA and look at Johnny Cage. And The Miz has thrown his hat in the ring, so to speak. He wants to play Johnny Cage. And I think that would actually be really good casting.
It would be fucking perfect.
If they're going to stick with C-list actors that don't have a whole lot of talent, but can, you know, do some moves and make things look great, I think The Miz is good. Plus, The Miz is Johnny Cage. I mean, his whole demeanor, I think, will fit.
Yeah.
In that whole realm.
I didn't like what they did with Reptile.
It was kind of like Reptile from the later games. You know, because originally, basically what they did is they had the skin for Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Same outfit, different color. And so they did Smoke and they did Reptile. Basically, they took that skin and they just gave it different colors and made it a different character. And then in later games where they had better technology and more money to flesh out these characters, they made a Reptile more like Reptile in this movie.
I think Kano stole the show for me.
Kano, I was just going to say that. Kano, the actor that portrayed him, was great. I said Kung Lao stole the movie for me, just like the action-wise.
Yeah.
But acting and those one-liners and good... it was Kano. Got fucking laser eyes!
I would like to see him take over as Captain Boomerang in the Suicide Squad.
But he's Canadian.
Good day, mate! Fuck Jai Courtney. Get him out of there. Put this guy in as Captain Boomerang.
Have you seen the new trailer?
Yes. I think you sent it to me.
Amazo. Or not Amazo, sorry. Fucking starfishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks good.
The scene that got me was when Idris Elba told Peacemaker to choke on or suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah. If this whole island was covered in dicks and sucking them would be for liberty, I'll suck everyone.
I will see that movie just to watch that part again, even though I can YouTube it.
So let's finish up with some questions. We've got just a few left.
All right.
How dumb is it that sorry ass Goldberg is in the Hall of Fame and Bobby Eaton is not?
This brings us right back to the choke on a bag of dicks.
I was expecting you to not know who Bobby Eaton was.
I probably don't.
And that is the reason that Goldberg is in the Hall of Fame and Bobby Eaton is not. Bobby Eaton is hands down a better wrestler talent, but his career was not on the same level as Goldberg. It's sad that Bobby Eaton is not in the Hall of Fame, but that is why.
I keep thinking you're going to say Bobby E.
Haha, folks, now you know I've been doing this podcast with Bobby Eaton this entire time. Great Khali recently went into the Hall of Fame. Big Van Vader has not. That is a disservice to Big Van Vader.
I agree.
Great Khali should not be in that Hall of Fame. Even if Vader's not in, Khali should not be in. Whenever I heard the news, because basically they did a holdover from last year, and then they added more people, so the Hall of Fame this year had like, I don't know, like 30 people go in. But whenever I read Great Khali, I just thought, you're just legitimizing the Bella Twins being in the Hall of Fame. It just makes no sense to me to have Khali in there.
All right.
We have talked about Kenny Omega. says that I don't understand really where they're going with Kenny Omega having all these titles. Are they cross promotion everything? So it's going to be one global front against Vince. That is my hope. Thank God they're finally doing what they should have done years ago with Roman Reigns, best character on television. I think they finally stopped writing for him and they're just letting him talk. Or Heyman's doing the talking, which is probably more likely. Either way, it's great. I agree. They had kind of done a heel turn with Reigns way back when. Didn't really take off, but then whenever they tried to make him a face again, everyone hated him. Because they felt like he was being crammed down our throats like John Cena. Sucking dicks on an island somewhere. But having him with Heyman was a good thing. I mean, we look at how big Brock Lesnar had been as, you know, having Paul Heyman be his voice, I think it stems to do the same for Reigns. So I am happy for that.
I don't care.
How long is it going to be before we see Samoa Joe on AEW? I don't know. I don't know if Joe's just going to hang it up, if he's going to start a wrestling school where he can kind of show people some stuff from the sidelines. I don't know. It would be great to see him in AEW, but again, AEW really needs to focus on the talent that they have.
Yeah, I prefer the latter.
It's great if they bring people in every now and again and do like a storyline, but they really need to work with who they've got. They've got a lot of great talent. They've got some strong talent. Then they have a lot of potential talent that's not that great right now. Don't be create a disservice to those guys. Grow them to be, you know, celebrities.
Or if he's going to show up, have him be like Jake the Snake with Murder Hawk.
Yeah, just have him be a manager of somebody.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And then they went on to comment, I hope they don't miss the mark and debut Bo Dallas instead. Oh. Those were some great questions. I do appreciate it. The other topics I wanted to discuss this week, Snyder Cut was on the list. Mortal Kombat was on the list. Falcon Winter Soldier. And I did want to introduce Invincible for those of you who have not seen it, because it was really well done. Lot of super ultraviolet, violent stuff. Really ultraviolet.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
I do too.
It's a good vampire flick if you haven't seen it. So I really enjoyed this episode. It ran longer than our episodes recently have in the past.
Y'all deserve it.
You do. We appreciate all the support. Appreciate all the people that stuck with this. Even our Discord was still going pretty strong in this hiatus. We still had a lot of people talking to each other and still communicating. A lot of great comments and questions came my way. I appreciate your patience and your understanding. Moving forward, we're going to be delivering more content. That being said, the break has given me the opportunity to kind of step back. I think we got into this loop of, this isn't working, let's try this. This isn't working, let's try that. And some of those things were hits and some of those things were misses. So moving forward, we're going to stick to our strengths, some things that grew us and made us stronger in episodes past. I think we're going to go back to at least, I would like to record and put out a show at least twice a month. I would like to do every week like we usually have done in the past. I just don't want to burn us out on content. But I'm committed to at least twice a month. That is my obtainable goal. That being said, I do want to go back to having some themed episodes. So maybe an episode where we do like we did today with some questions and some news and some thoughts, and then another one where we kind of look at some themed stuff. So we will discuss the theme and get that posted on all of our social medias this week, whether you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We'll get it out there. I'm looking forward to your input, seeing some of those lists like we did in the past. That was always one of my favorite things, to see what some of your thoughts and opinions were with regard to a certain topic. And we will elaborate on those and then give you our list as we did in the past. I think that was great for the show. I promise not to put Bobby E through this a whole lot, but there's been some watch-alongs that have come into my brain. Like, oh, I really want to watch this with Bobby and get his take. Even if we just watch it off air and then discuss it on air, we might try that instead. But that's a cool option. But yeah, definitely give us your Mount Rushmore on a certain topic was one of my favorites. So we are probably going to look at revisiting that. I do want to get some more writing done, and now I have the time to do so. I'm an artist. I need a creative outlet. So I look forward to some more chapters. I have to go back and re-listen to the old stuff so that I can keep it as canon and not retcon too much. We'll probably retcon Aaron the Red winning the title as like a fever dream of some sort, because he doesn't deserve that belt. And I do want to continue to do some of our fantasy matchups. we'll continue to do our wrestler matchups, but I want to get in some comic book characters, maybe some video game characters, and not make like this huge tournament. Maybe once a year we do that, but we got into a gimmick where we were doing it every week, a list of 10, and it just kind of became tedious and not fun. So I want to go away from that, but maybe have a few matchups in the future. But as I look at the time, I realize that is all the time we have allotted for the day. I hope you enjoy the show, and I look forward to recording with my tag team partner for life, Bobby E. Until next time, this is the Hijinks and Zoos Wrestling Podcast, H-E-W-P, the hoop, the ring, the squared circle.
I miss saying tits.
I miss giggling.